Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 127, part 2. So you think you've got a problem? Today is Sunday, December 27th, 2009, with our special guest, Pastor Don Hastings. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? No boundaries. Even though we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us. Write this down, 612-521-4665. Call between 1 and 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, and register your household for monthly groceries. Don't be shy. We have lots of food and a lot to give away. So call us again, 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. Register your household for monthly groceries. And by the way, Pastor Paul is the person you will be seeing who will be giving you lots and lots of food to take home. So be sure to come down. And if you don't need groceries, we can always use your help. Call us up. Go online. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, or you can volunteer your time. So give us a call. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. When you go to the blog, you're going to find interactive links that I leave to scriptures within Pastor Paul's message, so you can follow up when you're finished listening to the message. You don't want to try to scramble through your Bible while you're listening to his message. You may miss something, and he speaks fast. Can I say this? Pastor Paul's messages are the best. And if you are one of those who are listening and you're getting a lot out of his messages, you need to tell other people about his messages. That's how I came to find out about Pastor Paul's mission, about Pastor Paul's work and everything in North Minneapolis, by hearing Pastor Paul on the radio. And you'll hear him refer to the radio audience quite a bit, because his messages are recorded some 20-some years ago, the ones we're hearing today. But when you listen, and I'd like to hear some comments about this on the blog, make a comment about this. Is it true that Pastor Paul's messages are just timeless? When you're listening to his messages, you're not thinking that it's 25 years ago. So be sure to write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, and you're going to find all that information in the show notes. The month of December, let me run through four messages. Joy is our duty. My garden, his garden. Actually, that one we've already heard. I'm taking these in order, though. So you'll be able to go to online, go to the audio page, and you'll be able to stream that or download it yourself as just a message, my garden, his garden. So we're going to skip that. So let's start over. We're going to go with joy is our duty. The second one is to know and not to know. The tender grape. And so you think you've got a problem. I like that one. Okay, so those are the messages for the month of December. Lots of stuff happening in December with the holidays. Be sure to tune in to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of it and be blessed. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And what is the secret of the holidays? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you.
And the thing that happens, I think, when we withhold sin or when we withhold from entering in, like it says, you know, confess with one another, pray with one another, give your burdens up so that you can move on. What we do sometimes, and this is a little dangerous, gets a little dangerous, and here again, it's something probably everybody's done, but we start to scapegoat other people, churches, could be the guy behind the pulpit, could be the building, could be the ministry you're involved in. You start to scapegoat. All of a sudden, you've kept that sin in so long, and you feel lousy, and you got to get it out. So you start thinking, oh, that guy's the fault. That guy is the guy who's making me feel this way. Or, I know what it is. It's that message that guy preached last Friday. And then all of a sudden, it becomes their fault. Okay? How many people have done that? Even if it's on a small level. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to accept your responsibility for your sin. I'm talking a lot about attitudes today too, you know. But you don't want to accept responsibility for your sin. So all of a sudden you think about it a while and you keep it in and you don't want to give it up. So pretty quick it's like, well, something's got to come out, see. Because you're getting nasty inside and all of a sudden it's that guy or that person or that thing. And unfortunately, that gets kind of dangerous because then you don't get nothing solved and now somebody else is getting a gun pointed at them that don't even deserve it, you know. And we start scapegoating. I don't know, Jan, in your prison ministry thing, if you ran across this, but the Lord was showing me like prisoners. Maybe you heard just recently about a guy who he killed someone 7 or 8 years ago. He felt the guy did an injustice to him, so he killed him. And they put him in prison for, I think, 8 years, and he got out. And he has no remorse, no repentance, and would do the same thing again. He said this publicly. No repentance. Okay, and I thought to myself, man, that's a real bondage because he has never admitted that he was at fault. Okay, and that's like the guy who, maybe the guy goes out and commits a murder. Gets thrown in prison and gets a chance to think about it. Now, most people, what prisons try to do, they try to rehabilitate, right? When we put ourselves in prison sometime, we just kind of, maybe sometime we can rehabilitate, and then we come back up, like I said before, you know. You go down in your downtime, and you're in your little dungeon, and maybe the Lord deals with you, and you come back out, and you're rehabilitated. And the Lord can do that no matter how deep your dungeon is and how long you've been down there. He will rehabilitate you. But in the world, if we don't want rehabilitation or if we don't repent while we're down there, what happens is you can come out and all of a sudden the bad guys were the guys that put you in there. You forgot all about how you got in there. Why did you go down? You know, why were you put in the prison? Well, you were put in the prison because you did something wrong. And all of a sudden you come out and you never gave it up. And all of a sudden, those guys, I hate them. Man, when I get out of prison, I'm going to blow those guards away. I'm going to come back and slash the tires on their cars, man, and, you know, get all fired up. It's all of a sudden, it's been transferred to them. They're the bad guy because there's no repentance there. See? So that's the only thing about, and the thing is sometimes, I know that it's hard sometimes to repent to people. Okay? It's hard to do that. From the start, at least if you can, you know, just to release yourself, just repent to the Lord. Because, you know, it does say confess your faults with one another. But a lot of times, you know, you don't have to, not every little thing that you think of. I mean, you know, come up to, I could do more damage if I came up and said, Corey, brother, I got to, you know, Corey, last week, you probably didn't even know this, Corey, but like, I just was thinking about you, man, and I just, you know, I just hated your guts, but I repented to God, and he set me free on it, and I just wanted you to know that. And then I go on my merry way. I mean, that's going to do more damage. If I did have that thought, just give it up to God. Because if I come and lay that on him, you know, he's going to say, thank, wow, I really am glad you got free on it, you know. And he walks away like this, you know. You know, he's been made, the, you know, he's blasted in the meantime, you know. And so repentance, a lot of times, I think, first if you can just, you know, if you're in something and you know you're really going through something, first, just bring it to God. God, a lot of times, he might direct you. If it's with people, with relationships, he might direct you to go say something to somebody or maybe just change your attitude. A lot of times, you know, people in here, I don't think there's a bunch of people in here that are sitting down and can write you a big list of all the people that owe them apologies. You know, I just don't think most of us really keep track, do you? I mean, you don't sit there and, well, there's, you know, I'm... there's about seven people in this room that really owe me an apology. You know, nobody's keeping track. So if you don't come and apologize to them, hey, they don't care. You know, but maybe you could change your attitude. If you've been really giving somebody a hard time, let's say, or something like that. I don't think we got a lot of that going on in here. But a lot of times you get into that mind games and little attitude wars, and it can even happen with husbands and wives. You know, and maybe... well, you did this thing a year ago, and you still owe me two apologies to my one. You know, and you can it can restrict you for a long time. It can really restrict you, you know. Because remember, when you hold that thing in, it grows. When you hold in resentment, when you hold in sin, when you hold in something, you don't give it up, man, it's going to grow. Pretty quick, you got a tumor, you know. And pretty quick. And the thing is, another thing is too, when you do that, everybody can see it. It's like it blossomed out of the top of your head, you know. I mean, people can tell when somebody's got an attitude, right? If you know them and if you love them and if you're concerned about them, you can tell. You can tell. So get rid of them so that you don't drag everybody else down. So don't scapegoat. You know, try to avoid that by taking it directly to the Lord. Let Jesus deal with you right from the get-go so that you don't start, so the innocent bystanders don't start getting blasted. I think we owe each other that in the body of Christ, whether it's a congregation like this or just people in general, even people on the street or whatever the case is. You know, don't drag the innocent bystanders in because you have been into something and because you are not free on it. And so therefore, you're going to blame it on somebody else. And here the other person say, wow, what did I do? And pretty quick, you got that guy wondering what he did, you know. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Getting towards the end here. About another 2 hours, Mick. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. It says, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Okay, that's a pretty heavy one. It says, even if a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted. So, that's the grace. That's a little bit of the grace message there. Okay, we find one another. A lot of times, maybe we do blow it with one another. You know, I know I have. And I would just pray that somebody's going to restore me in a spirit of gentleness. Say, hey, forget it. You know, if I go to them and say, hey, man, I was just an absolute turkey on this. You know, I would hope the person say, hey, forget it. Let's just move on. Instead of going, yeah, hey, I know it, buddy, and let me tell you what you caused by this, you know, and just kill the guy, you know. Because what you're going to do is discourage a person maybe from, you know, here's a guy who kindly goes and confesses his sin to one another and wants some prayer, and the guy kills him, you know. And then it says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Bear one another's burdens. There again, that brings you back into the body of Christ. You ain't going to bear anybody's burdens if you're out in Antarctica, Christian land, where there's only like one per every 500 miles. You know, you're not going to be bearing one another's burdens if you ain't even by anybody. Now see, some people don't want to. And that's a natural thing too, I think. That's our old nature. We don't really want to bear anybody else's burdens, right? In our flesh, we usually are too busy and got enough stuff going where we probably don't want to pick up anybody else's burdens. We think we got our hands full, you know. But that's part of getting free of your own, though, is being able to pick up somebody else's burdens. Otherwise, you focus so much into your own thing, man, and your own troubles and sorrows, and, man, you just are a zero when it comes to helping anybody else out, you know. John 15, 12 and 13. This scripture prompted a song that we do. And this, the Lord's, I'm not real great at memorizing a lot of scripture. I'm kind of a dummy on that. But certain things the Lord has given me, simple scriptures, that kind of trigger me when I'm going to have a certain type of a reaction. They kind of trigger me to have another kind of reaction. They're little stop gates or whatever you want to call them. And this is a good one. John 15, 12 and 13, it says, this is Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It says, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Okay? Greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. How are you going to lay down your life for your friends if you're so busy you don't even see them? You don't even see what they're going through? You could care less what they're going through. You're looking out for number one, you know? And I think in the way the U.S. is structured, you know, where it's so bucks-oriented, money-oriented, success-oriented, a lot of the things that we can hear and a lot of teachings you get out there, success seminars and this and that, they really do basically tell you, hey, you worry about number one, forget this other guy. I went to a meeting one time, was asked to go to a meeting for, I'll say what it was for Amway, but you know, whatever. It comes down to selling soap. That's what Amway is all about. But a guy there basically said that you got to stop hanging around with losers and start hanging around with successful people. Okay. Now, how do you draw the line? I don't trust myself to draw the line who's a loser. You know? You know? I mean, I'd have to quit hanging around with some of my best friends. Yeah. Just kidding. Or they'd have to stop hanging around with me. You know. How do you do that? You know. How do you determine that? Who's a loser? You know. And a lot of people, you know, get into, oh yeah, Christians are all robots. They all are the same and blah blah and this and that. What Jesus wants to do is to make you are unique. Every person in here is unique. What Jesus is going to do, he's not trying to make us all into a robot, but we're all part of the same family. That'd be like denying that your brother and your sister are from the same bloodline as you are. I mean, if you have the same parents, you got the same bloodline, right? If they're your brother and your sister, you can't deny, you know, yeah, you're my brother, but no, we're from a different bloodline. I mean, you can't deny it. You can't do it. You can't deny that you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you cannot deny that you're a member of the body of Christ. You might not be an active member, you know. You might not want to be a member, but you are. Just like, you know, hey, we're all citizens of the U.S. and probably in this room here from what I can tell, right? Yes, a lot of people don't want to be. Remember back in the draft and protest days and stuff like that? A lot of people, man, they acted like they weren't. They burned their draft cards. They acted like they weren't. They didn't want nothing to do with the U.S., but still, they were United States citizens. You know, if they went to get a passport, that's what they'd have to write in there. They couldn't say, I disown the U.S. Well, you can. I suppose you can disown your country, but you still are, you know, until you move out and go sign up with somebody else, you know, or something like that, you know, it's something you can't deny. So we need to call on the grace of God in those kind of times. We've got to repent. Don't always think of repentance as being such a total miserable thing, you know. That's the old law thing where repentance is like, you know, crawl up in a hole and just tell God how lousy you are for about 10 hours and just maybe then take a stick and start beating yourself a little. And, you know, that's not repentance, you know. Repentance can go just like this, man. You could do the nastiest thing there is, and it takes you just a little bit to repent to God. Say, God, I'm sorry, man. I did it. I did this thing, and I am sorry. Erase it from me, Father, and restore me. And then start moving on. You know, it might take a while for the restoration, but the repentance doesn't take all that long to actually say you're sorry, confess a sin. And then comes the restoration. See, that's what the whole thing is about. There's encouragement. Now, to me, that's hope. You know, to know doesn't give me the license to sin, but it's hope to know that if I get way off base, that I've got friends and that I've got people that are going to pray for me. I might even get a rebuke of some sort from maybe somebody or maybe from the Lord himself if I got way out to lunch. But I know that I can come back, start with a clean slate, and be restored. That's a promise, see? That's a promise. That's like a fail-safe for everybody in this room. It's not just applied to some people. It's going to apply to everybody in this room. And the next thing we got to do is we've got to remember that we've got to remain in contact with God and his people. Kind of a hard one to swallow sometimes. Sometimes you don't want to be around anybody, especially not Christians. How many felt like that? Just don't. Right now, I don't. What I don't need is another Christian around me. You know, I felt that way before, man. You know, I felt that way. That's all I needed was just, you know, I had visions, certain Christians, you know, that just bothered me. Coming in and saying, hi, brother, you know, coming in with the word. And right then, man, I had an attitude on Christians. I just wanted, you know, I would have, in my flesh, you feel like just wailing on them, you know. I mean, that's your flesh, right? You just don't want it. But you've got to remain in contact with God and his people. Don't force yourself to, see, we always take the extreme. We always take the extreme. If you've been on the outskirts of God, that doesn't mean you got to all of a sudden come back the next day and do 500 million things for God. I mean, just come and sit. Sit in the back seat. You don't have to come sit up front here right away. You know, you might sit there. Who cares where you sit? But come at least sit. Come back in the doors. Okay? Galatians. Oh, I already read that. Sorry about that. So now what we've got is involvement. Okay, now we've got involvement. We're confessing among one another. We're praying for one another. But mainly we've got involvement with God. We're back saying, Lord, I know I got to take the stuff to you first. You've got caring, then you've got concern. True concern for one another is something the Lord will give you. Because in yourself, a lot of times you don't care. True concern about yourself. And also, when you're concerned about somebody out of love, you might have to say something to them sometimes that you don't like to say. How many have anybody had to go to somebody and say something that they didn't like to say? And I don't mean, you know, you went and told them off. You know, I don't mean, oh, I really didn't like to say that, but I just had to read them off and tell them, blah, blah, blah. But you really kind of like that, you know. We like to tell people off, our flesh does, if you let it get fired up enough. You get fired up enough, man, you like to beat up on people, you know. But I mean, where the Lord had you go tell somebody something or give somebody a word, not a word, you know, I don't mean like lay something on them, but maybe it was just, this is one of the hardest ones of all. Maybe the Lord had you go encourage somebody. Maybe old pride hates to encourage that guy. Man, I hate to encourage that guy. He already thinks he's great. Now the Lord wants me, you know. Now the Lord wants me to go and give a guy a compliment. He already thinks he's great. You know, that can be where your problem is, see. You've already judged this guy and put him off in the corner. So talking about getting the attention off ourselves and our predicament and, you know, You'd be sitting there, you're a Christian, but you're in the junkyard. You're just kind of sitting there, you're getting a little rusty. You know, nothing's happening, you're bummed out. You ever go to me, junkyards are kind of a dull place. I mean, really, you know. It's okay if you got to go pull something out of there for your car, but I mean, it's not like a place you'd want to maybe take your family for a picnic or something, right? You know, it's just kind of an old dead car sitting there, old truck, especially like the ones over in Washington here where you got these old trucks that look like they've been there for 50 years. You know, there ain't no life happening there. You know, you don't even see animals crawling on them or anything. There's nothing to eat. They can't even eat that kind of stuff. You know, it's just worthless. And that's how sometimes we can, as Christians, we get in the old junkyard. You know, we just kind of off to the side of the road, just kind of, oh yeah, I'm bummed. I've been bummed for 15 years. A sister hurt me back in 68, and, you know, and just never picked yourself up. So I'll wrap it up here. Lord has shown me, and I hope I got it across, but don't isolate yourself from God or from the body because of temptation, because of sin. Okay, don't isolate yourself. Don't think you're getting into something that's so different and so weird that everybody's going to hate your guts if they found out about it, so therefore you got to run away. Don't think that, because it's all common to man. There's probably five other guys in here that outdid you by 10 times, sitting right next to you, you know. Don't get into a pride thing over your sin. That might sound kind of stupid, but we can get a kind of a martyr over our sin. You know, I've heard testimonies occasionally when we've played out where it's almost like a battle of the testimonies, you know. Well, the Lord picked me up from, I was shot 12 times and prostitute when I was 10 and blah, blah. And the next one, well, I was shot 55 times and prostitute when I was 6. And the next guy comes up and, you know, and it can get into almost a pride thing. Like, how deep in the pit were you, you know? Well, I've been this farthest down. I mean, I was there, you know. And we can get prideful about our sin. Sounds kind of dumb, but we can do it. And we can get kind of a martyr about our sin, you know. And that can keep us from confessing it, because we think we're beyond it. We think we're already in, you know, that the devil has a special little barbecue Weber grill already set up for us down there with our name on it, you know. No, there's no way. I'm reserved in hell. I mean, there's no way. And if, you know, that's our confession. Turn it over to God, because He wants to be the one you trust. He wants to be the one you come to. We do a song in choir occasionally that says, He's bread to the hungry. He's water to the thirsty. He's a friend to the friendless. And He's hope to the hopeless. Okay? He's a friend to the friendless, and He's hope to the hopeless. So turn it over to Him. And through turning it over to Him, that's where your escape will come. That's where your freedom is going to come, going through it, staying in there. Just a couple more scriptures. James, go to James 1 and 2. Well, let's go to Romans. Romans 15, 1 through 6. This will wrap it up. Romans 15, 1 through 6, it says, Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached then fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a call to come together. There's a call to come together, and there's a call to get off of our own little thing and to go through it, and to pick ourselves off the ground and dust it off and keep moving, because there's work to be done, right? There's a call out there. You've got to step back in. You've got to step back and stride with the Lord, okay? Did you get something out of it? Good, good. Thank you, Lord. Now, talking about confessions, this is a chance to make the biggest confession you might ever make, and that is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, now there's a confession. A lot of people don't like to make that confession because they think it sounds kind of foolish. Years ago, you know, if somebody would have asked me, hey, do you want to confess Jesus as your Savior? I would have kind of thought, ah, I'm kind of a big guy that looked kind of stupid for me to talk. I'd be kind of a wimp to say that, or, you know. Right? Go through a lot of different things, don't you, before you confess the Lord. But I'm going to put out a call right from here, and I'll look around. I know most of the people in here, I think. But is anyone out there, and don't get embarrassed and all uptight now, and, oh, no, what's he going to do? This is the nervous part and all this. This isn't the nervous. This is the good part. Okay? Anybody out there who has never made a confession, confess that Jesus is Lord, that you're a sinner, and confess Jesus as your Savior, and be born again. That's what born again is all about. It's making that confession. Has anybody ever, maybe you're not sure, maybe you're unclear. You know, nobody's going to laugh. So if you're till a tear.